The writer John Steinbeck was born at the turn of the 20th century just outside Monterey, California. In 1960, though, he was a famous author living in New York and embarked on a road trip up and down and across the United States with his dog, Charlie. He wrote about that trip in his book, Travels with Charlie in Search of America. We've been revisiting some of the stops on his journey, and for our final installment, we retrace his trip back to Monterey. Steinbeck hadn't been back in years, and what he saw appalled him. Our guide in Monterey today is a writer and teacher who disagrees with Steinbeck about change and about whether it's possible to go home again.
So we're in downtown Monterey, and the buildings themselves probably aren't much different from the ones that Steinbeck saw when he was growing up here in the area. He probably came to this cinema, the Golden State Cinema, Golden State Theater. Lots of gulls. That hasn't changed much. And if you inhale deeply, the ocean's to our left and behind us, all over there. You can sort of catch a scent of the sea breeze and kelp and rotting sea life. It's still there. I'm Diana Garcia. I'm a poet and writer and a professor in the Creative Writing and Social Action Program at California State University, Monterey Bay. So I'm reading from Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie in Search of America. As part of his journey, he comes home again, and he goes to Johnny's bar, the Galician. And to Steinbeck's horror, he starts hearing the word dead, dead, dead after he brings up the names of several of the old-time friends. And that's around the time when he starts talking about Thomas Wolfe's concept that you can never go home again, that there's been too much change and it's not for the better. When he left, there was still a fishing industry. When he returned, that fishing industry was in tatters. The wharves were crumbling, the canneries were shut down, and he tells his friend Johnny, "Today I walked the length of Alvarado Street and back by the Calle Principal, and I saw nothing but strangers.
Nothing but strangers. My nerves are jangled by traffic lights. Even the police are strangers, foreigners." Johnny was slumped casually over the bar. "But here, Juanito, it's the same. We don't let them in." I looked down the line of faces. "Yes, here it is better. But can I live on a bar stool? Let us not kid ourselves. What we knew is dead, and maybe the greatest part of what we were is dead. What's out there is new and perhaps good, but it's nothing we know."
Steinbeck realized if the discussion continued, it was going to lead to a fight, that the next words were going to be, "Let's step outside and settle this." And so instead, he left. And later on talks about how he not only leaves Monterey, but in a sense flees Monterey.
"It's a lonesome old town."
This four-lane concrete highway slash with speeding cars.
I remember as a narrow, twisting mountain road where the wood teams moved, drawn by steady mules.
This was a little, little town.
Little town. A general store under a tree and a blacksmith shop, and a bench in front on which to sit and listen to the clang of hammer on anvil. Now little houses, each one like the next, particularly since they try to be different, spread for a mile in all directions. That was a woody hill with live oaks dark green against the parched grass where the coyotes sang on moonlit nights. The top is shaved off and a television relay station lunges at the sky and feeds a nervous picture to thousands of tiny houses clustered like aphids beside the roads.
I've been reading Steinbeck since I was about 10 years old. He was the first author to make a deep impact on me. Growing up the child of farm workers, he talked about the Salinas Valley. He may as well have been talking about the San Joaquin Valley. He talked about agriculture, talked about the native peoples, talked about the Mexicans. It all sounded very familiar. It felt very like home to me. For me, this issue of coming home, I feel like I'm always coming home. I live so close to my parents in Merced. I've seen the orchards being torn down. I've seen the crops disked under. And then I've seen the forms being laid, the curbs and gutters and the driveways being poured. I've seen those changes, and I feel that I can go home because I've experienced them individually, minutely, over a period of time. They haven't come on me as a shock. You know, the freeway went through our part of town when I was about 12 years old, and it destroyed that entire community forever at that point. When that happened, I didn't see it as destruction at that time so much as work for my father, because he was one of the cement masons working on the abutments and the sidewalks and the overpasses. And so it's a very different reality. So now we're on Cannery Row itself, with the Cannery Row trolley tooling up and down the street, tourists crossing at their risks. We have the pizzerias, the beer joints, candy companies, and of course, we're standing right now in front of the bust of John Steinbeck, who immortalized Cannery Row with his book titled Cannery Row. You know, I don't know how much profanity Steinbeck used, but he's always struck me as kind of a working class kind of guy, and I'm sure that he would have had a few choice phrases for some of the changes that had occurred here in his hometown. I don't think he would have cared for it. I don't see that for myself. We are always in a process of breaking down and building back up, both as humans and as an environment and as communities. If it weren't so, then we probably would cease to exist.
That's poet Diana Garcia in Monterey, California. Our series retracing John Steinbeck's travels with Charlie was produced by John Biewen of the Center for Documentary Studies at Duke University. Have you ever returned to where you grew up and had an epiphany, for better or for worse? If so, we'd like to hear about it at studio360.org.